What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. We'll go blitzing. It's going to be Commanders and football centric. Moments away on the Fan, Washington is headed to the NFC Championship game and the games in Philly where we were earlier this year, watching them give the Eagles all they can handle.
For three quarters plus, that was the case. So a fourth down botch where either the snap was at the wrong time or the signal was at the wrong time, who knows what, but they were right there in a game that we now kind of look at differently. As Washington continues to build the foundation of success on and off the field this season, it's time for you to plan for your future as well. It's the exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm of Condorey and Morod, can help you update your last will and testament or set up a revocable trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com and be sure to tell them that Grant and Danny sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
Jay Gruden joins the show at 5. We got Caps tickets we're giving away tonight at 6 right here on the Fan. We'll be giving away those Caps tickets all week long. If you're listening to the show at 4 ahead of the Blitz generally, you can win those right now at this time for the rest of the week. Let's get into our NFL and Commanders heavy blitz. Our buddy Michael Phillips, Odyssey Richmond, joins us to get things going. You can also check his work out. The Richmonder, if you live in Richmond, good journalism that will make you smarter about your community. Michael, what is happening?
That part where you said they're playing for the NFC title, you can just say that as many times as you want. We can just do a show about that. So many plays, so many moments. It was just the onside kick terrified me. I didn't believe it until the very end, and then it's happening, and this is the team. This is the moment. And we're gonna be talking about this game, guys. Washington against Philly to go to the Super Bowl. Sometimes you don't know you're in a classic moment when you're in one. We're going to be talking about this game for the next 30 years of our lives.
Do your best to explain what happened Saturday night in Detroit.
Well, 5 turnovers. If you win the turnover margin, you're on the way there. And to get 5 of them was spectacular, obviously. You start there on defense. Jared Goff didn't have his best day. But that doesn't mean they were going to get those. We've seen them drop interceptions this year. They didn't. Mikey Sandra still showing up big when it mattered, getting the big plays, rattling Jared Goff, and then establishing the run. I'll channel my inner Chris Russell here. Cock-a-doodle-doo, baby. They got running the ball. Both running backs had great games. They established the run. They pounded the ball, and that freed them up to do everything else they wanted to do.
Michael, they didn't seem to miss Sam Cosmi, which is not to say that they won't immensely moving forward, but what an amazing in-game battening down of the hatches after he got hurt and Trent Scott came in.
I mean, two guys I owe big apologies to today and game out on my show, Trent Scott, who I think, you know, he made the line worse when he showed up this year. There were big drop-offs there. He played great, and Brian Robinson, who I thought maybe they should have made inactive, that turned out to be a bit of a mistake there. You know, the redemption games all around and the redemption seasons all around, De'Ami Brown making that catch with a dude, you know, grabbing his face mask, you know, on top of his eye so he can't see. Jaden putting that pass right in the breadbasket. And pick your moment. There's a guy behind it who, you know, if you're stacking up rosters 1 through 53, these guys rank 4th out of the remaining 4 teams. But man, as a team, they get it done in those, as DQ would say, winning time moments.
Defensively, they couldn't stop Detroit. But they did stop him a couple times with those turnovers. Like, quantify that performance for me. They gave up. If you show me the yardage totals, the points allowed, the first downs, how comfortable Detroit was, yards per carry, yards per play, et cetera, I go, oh, they won by 20. Of course, they didn't. But how do you quantify that, what we saw?
Yeah, and the one You know, the one backed up in his own end zone that became the big one, I thought Tom Brady, who I'm hit or miss with on Tom Brady, doesn't wow me normally, but I thought he was right on top of that one. Jared Goff's down 10. He's feeling it. He's feeling the pressure. He's feeling he's got to do something for this crowd. And instead of taking a four-yard check down, he swings big for 25. All of a sudden, Sandersteel's got this coming the other way. That's a big moment in this game. And, you know, you can prepare for a lot of things. And I love that coaching staff, top to bottom. Dan Campbell, I think the world of him. But that's a tough environment to be in unless you've been there. We've lived that with the Caps so many times, right? You're the one seed. You're favored. You're at home. Something doesn't go your way, and the place just tightens up. It's a tough environment to be in, and Jared Goff decided he was going to play some hero ball right then. He didn't need to, and it led to a very big moment.
Michael Phillips, the Richmonder, I cannot wait to see your smiling face in Philadelphia. Let's do skits and bits for the NFC Championship game, huh?
Skits and bits in Philly for the NFC title. We'll be there. I'll probably be at the stadium at like 7 a.m. I'll be one of those people, like, they open the door, I'll be running in. Like, I'm going to take a picture of the NFC Championship paint on the field. Like, I'm going to savor every single second of this.
Like doorbusters on Black Friday. Just, yeah. Michael Phillips pushing
them in. I know you're going to take a picture of the NFC Championship game T-shirts. That's been your move in the past.
If they print a T-shirt, I'm leaving there with a T-shirt. I promise you that. It's not the T-shirt I want to leave there with, though. That's a different T-shirt.
Appreciate you, Michael.
Take care, guys.
See ya. What did he mean by that?
The champion T-shirt that they give out after.
Okay. I get you.
You know what I mean?
I thought that's what he meant, but I wanted to make sure.
Mm-hmm.
Let's keep it moving. Other games of the weekend of note. Mike Jones of The Athletic to help us. Mike, I feel bad for Lamar Jackson at this point. I mean, he was not the biggest reason why the Ravens lost, obviously. He gave right. them a great chance at the end of the game. Mark Andrews dropped a two-point conversion, which was the difference. But terrible fumble, just absolutely awful, and a bad interception.
Not a great pick either.
I mean, we're talking about the teams that win the turnover battle are 7-0 in the playoffs. Allen did not turn the ball over.
Right.
Jackson
right.
did twice.
Yeah, and I think that every team that won, this weekend, they were outgained, but they took care of the football, and that was the big difference. You have to take care of the football. Sometimes, everybody's been down on the Chiefs a lot this year because they're not putting up, prolific offensive performances and things like that. But what they don't do is they don't hurt themselves, especially at the biggest moments, and that's what we saw. Last night with Buffalo and Baltimore, and I feel terrible for Lamar Jackson as well. He had a fantastic season, only 4 interceptions all season long. And, on the biggest stage with the highest pressure, I know he would like to have those 2 turnovers back. When you say, that they were still in position, but all that stuff adds up. It led to points. That Buffalo was able to tack on there. And, Mark Andrews had the fumble in the fourth quarter. Then he had the should have been catch, the drop. But there were other missed assignments there. And just Baltimore was just not quite as tight and as sharp as they needed to be. And Buffalo took care of business. So you have to give them a lot of credit because, yes, you were hoping to see a great performance by Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, a great battle back and forth would have been highly entertaining. Josh Allen didn't have the biggest game, but that was a good thing for Buffalo because they all contributed. A lot of guys on that team made plays, and they didn't need Josh Allen to throw for 300 yards for them to be able to win.
Similar story, it seems like, for the Rams in Philadelphia. Their own mistakes, whether it was fumbles, drop passes. I know the weather wasn't great, but Philadelphia's playing in it too.
Yeah, no, both teams were, and both, players on both sides, said that it was awful. I mean, even the Eagles players were saying they would have rather played on that terrible field in Brazil, again, rather than to play in that snow. But the defensive plays, Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith late in the game, forcing those turnovers, and then them just giving the ball, feeding Saquon Barkley, putting the team on his back. That was the big difference because, look, their offense was not clicking great. Jalen Hurts did not look very good. He was hobbling around. But, again, they were able to take care of the football. They were able to run the football. made the defensive plays they needed. They won in the trenches, and now they're playing for a chance to go to the Super Bowl.
Does the 4.5-point line feel right to you for the Eagles over the Commanders?
I guess. I mean, you know, the home team, what, they get like 3 points anyway, right? So I think this is going to be a super close game. I really, truly believe that the Commanders have a chance to win this game here because although Saquon Barkley has been dominant running the football, this Eagles offense has not been clicking on all cylinders consistently. And I believe that that gives Washington a chance.
Real quick, Mike, we didn't ask you about Kansas City. They won again. Ho-hum. They're back in the AFC title game. 7 straight years of that, I think. Are we kind of overlooking them because we're always looking for the new thing? Like, they're inevitable, right?
I mean, I think that they're going to the Super Bowl. They were my Super Bowl pick, you know, at the start of the season. Again, they've got a fantastic defense. They don't hurt themselves. They've got the best quarterback in the game. He gets overlooked sometimes. This year, he didn't have a healthy wide receiver unit. Their offense was kind of sputtering here and there. But if they leaned on the defense, they got the ball in his hands with 2 minutes to go, you knew they were going to win the game. And they won 16 straight one-score games. They are still the favorites to win the Super Bowl.
Mike, thank you, buddy. Good catching up.
I'll see you guys.
See you, ma'am.
All right, let's talk to our guy, Earl Forsey. Earl, it's been 33 years, like the lady on the Titanic. It's been 84 years.
I thought about that, you know?
They're doing it.
It feels like a grant.
They're doing it.
Welcome. Welcome to winning time in Washington. I grew up with this. A lot of folks did. I got to do the post game Sunday morning, countdown to kickoff, the reaction edition. I was like Dr. Phil for 2 hours. We were loaded with calls with people like me, kind of in the same, you know, age group that remembers those teams and grew up those fandom and have kids or whatever that, you know the mediocrity and the angst and the agony of the last 25, 30 years. So it was emotional. I mean, it was like Barbara Walters. I had a couple people almost coming to tears. I mean, this is the football is the fabric of this sports town, guys. I mean, we've got a baseball team now and the hockey team. I mean, I remember when they started. I was a Bullets fan when they were still in Baltimore. So I remember when they moved to D.C. and played at Cole Fieldhouse for whatever it was, a year or two before the Cap Center was done. So, but football, you know, I grew up on this, going back to my dad, and that was kind of what I was talking about. A lot of people are like this. My dad was a fan, didn't get to see this, or my mom. So this is special because I've been saying for 25 years, I've finally proven right, that the football fan base is just smoldering, waiting for this team to be decent again, to be good again. And because of the new regime and all the other stuff that went on, a lot of people couldn't jump on board, even if they had one. That's different now. And we're seeing it. It is, people are talking to you about it at work. People are talking to you about it in the stores. I mean, that's the way it used to be, as Rex the Husky barks behind
me. Yeah, dogs are barking right with you, too.
The dog, they got the dog in him. He's a fan. My kid asked for a Washington hoodie to wear to work today.
That's
you know,
awesome.
This is what we all wanted, right? This is what we all hoped for. And we're here now. This is not going to be a one-off thing, guys. Their best players are not going to be signing with the Phillies and Dodgers in a couple of years and playing somewhere else. This is not it. This team is just getting started with this quarterback who's just on the fringe of being what he already is. He is now, he's gone from star to superstar in these 2 weeks, right? He is a Final Four quarterback. He is on the cusp of being the first rookie ever to play in a Super Bowl. And there have been a lot of good rookie quarterbacks that have done a lot of good things over the years. He's already done more than most have. So, yeah, this is, as I saw my show, football the way it was meant to be. This is football in Washington the way it was meant to be. Get used to it. They're only starting.
How did they do it this Sunday against Philly?
Well, first of all, there's a lot of factors. How healthy is Jalen Hurts now after what happened? We don't really know. It's easy to say stop Saquon Barkley. You're not going to do that. You just have to counter it.
And by the way, just to add to that, Earl, they've given up 146 and 150 and 4 touchdowns to Barkley this year.
Yeah, I know. I know. So, and they're 1-1, and they won a game doing that.
And they almost won the other game.
Because your guy came through, right? Your quarterback, your superstar quarterback. That's how you do it. That's how they've been doing it in the playoffs. They just, you know, Brian Robinson, and I said it, and Phillip said it. I said it on the weekend. A lot of folks owe an apology to Brian Robinson. Another guy is Marshawn Lattimore, who showed up last week. Did you hear his name called? No, right? Why? Because nothing happened. Because he was on lockdown. You know, last week, and it's different, because last week I tweeted out, yes, they can win. Why? And I had three bullet points. One was Goff's got demons, of course, right? I mean, I retweeted that four times for every pick on Saturday night. The second was they've never lost to Detroit, and they still haven't. And the third was Jaden Daniels. And that's still the one that holds true here. You've got the better quarterback in this matchup. You have the better coaching staff. You know, I'm better in many ways with this matchup than facing Sean McVay, having to go to L.A., playing what would have been a noon game in L.A. I'm okay with this. There's a familiarity. Philly is favored. It's 5.5, by the way, right now. That line's gone up a little bit.
Oof.
Yeah, well.
I don't care about that, though.
No, you shouldn't. Seriously? Because it was 10. Yeah. It was 10 in the
Lions'
den.
That's my thought.
A week ago. And how's that working for him? I think Jaden Daniels has to be him, has to be the star. And he's been that way, you know, for 19 weeks now and counting. And everybody that needs to step up has. I think a key here is going to be, and I just mentioned Marshawn Lattimore, Saquon Barkley is going to be that guy. In the past, it was the last time because of what happened. A.J. Brown got the better of that matchup. So let's see if that turns around again. Because, again, that's a place, that fan base, when things get tight up there, they will turn on their guys. Maybe it's a Zach Ertz revenge game, too, huh? Up in Philly for this one.
Won't be the first one. He played his butt off
there. Zacchaeus revenge game, too.
Yeah, well, you're right. He had a huge one in game, too.
And, you know, the thing is, and two, the bigger the game, the better that guy, the better five plays. And the tougher the situation, the more pressure there's on, the better he plays. So bring on that pressure of the NFC title game, of the championship game. I hope it's close at the end. I hope the game is on the line at the end, and you got to hope he's got the ball if that's the case. Because if he does, you got a really good shot of winning that game and going to a Super Bowl in New Orleans. How about it?
Hell yeah.
Let's do that thing, right?
You saying that, I want you to know that it's funny. It's hilarious. Oh, yeah.
Did the Rooster talk to Josh Harris after the game? You know what the owner said?
And we're team
of destiny. From the Super Bowl. One win away from the Super Bowl. Okay?
Team of destiny, baby.
Yeah, team of destiny. He called him a team of destiny, too.
Something should. Something's cooking right now. Earl, thank you,
thanks,
brother.
Thanks, buddy.
Yep.
We appreciate you. By the way, Sunday morning, kicking off our coverage, Earl Forsey.
All day.
Going to be breaking it down. And we will be live and local all day long, including during the game with live Westwood One play-by-play, the outstanding Ian Eagle, the tremendous Kurt Warner on the call right here on 106.7 The Fan on Sunday. All right, let's hit the phones next. If you've been waiting, we're getting to you. If you want to fill up the couple of lines available, it has been a while since we've hit the phone. So 800-636-1067. Want to know how you are feeling after one of the least likely runs in D.C. sports history, the Commanders are going to be playing for the NFC title.
They've done this to teams all season long.
Here's Goff. Pressure. Steps away beautifully. Firing for the end zone. Oh, it's intercepted in the end zone. By Samer still, who's now looking to take it out, and Samer still is going to go down.
Have yourself a day, Mikey Sanders still back in Michigan, where he won a national championship a year ago for Jim Harbaugh. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. That was the Fox broadcast there. Jared Goff threw one of his three interceptions, one of four picks in the game for Detroit. By the way, Ryan, speaking of Jared Goff, is not here today. He's working from home because he's a little under the weather, and CK is trying to stomp out the bug that is working its way through the crew here after your boy got sick last week. But I just want Ryan to know, if he is listening wherever he is, that we had absolutely no plans of making fun of Jared Goff today if you were here. And in fact, I personally would like to tell you that when you return tomorrow, nobody is going to mention that Jared Goff sucked. No one is going to talk about
how not going to talk about it.
He completely crapped all over himself. We're not going to talk about how he almost single-handedly allowed Washington to get to the NFC Championship game. We will not mention any of his four turnovers. Hit four of them.
We're not mentioning it.
We will not be mentioning that.
I also promise that I did not put together a montage of those turnovers with Jared Goff explaining them afterwards. I promise I didn't do that.
Darius didn't put that together and will not be playing it tomorrow.
It's not going to happen.
In fact, it's not happening. I think we'll all go around the room and talk about how great Jared Goff was and all the plays that he made.
Underappreciated. Yeah. How good that...
By Commanders fans. Yeah, for sure.
That pencil figure is so great.
Ben Johnson's the head coach of the Chicago Bears. That escalated quickly. Speaking of which, before we get to the phones really quickly, 800-636-1067 is the number. Ben Johnson to the Bears, we talked about what this could mean for Cliff Kingsbury, maybe staying in Washington, not taking that Bears job. I've seen a lot of anti-Ben Johnson rhetoric after this game. I think what I've realized is if you ever run a trick play and it backfires,
people get mad.
It's open season. They ran four of them. One of them went for a 60-yard touchdown. The other two worked beautifully. That one was stupid. And I actually think, not just because it was a pick, it was a terrible time to call a trick play, the fourth of the game, when you're down 10 in the fourth quarter, whatever it was. That said, the coaching point is not for Jameson Williams to force a ball into a non-existent window into a well-covered guy. You're probably looking for a coverage bust, or you're running it or throwing it out of bounds. But people had their fun. And go for it.
Seriously.
You should.
Yeah, I did too, by the way. I'll have my fun. That guy can coordinate offense. He is an offensive genius.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, he's great at it. But I had a great time.
People were killing him like, he cost him the game. Which of the 520 yards and the 8 yards per play that they put up offensively cost them the game? Now, I will say this, as I've thought more and more about it, because people were not liking the game plan or whatever, I'm like, what would you change? Look at how they move the ball. But if you want to tell me you would trade 150 of those yards or something, and you would, instead of, you know, scoring, they would have scored like 37 or 40 points without their turnovers, 44 points. You trade a little bit of that to just control the clock more and be more complimentary and help your defense and keep Daniels and Washington off the field. And instead of 14 carries, maybe you give Gibbs 18 or 19 because they don't really go higher than that because, God forbid, you know, they act like he's some China doll or something that would break, you know. It's a nice plate that your grandmother
uses. You can't use it for regular
you
company.
You can't possibly give him 15 carries. But maybe that would have been better. I guess I could sign up for that. But it's hard to get that upset about anything they did offensively.
Yeah, they're pretty productive.
Other than the turning the ball over five times thing.
And I promise you, he didn't tell the praying mantis to do that. You know what I mean? He's not whispering in his ear, like, hey, Jared, this one. Force it deep. Force it when you've got a guy wide open for 10. Force it over the top and see if somebody can make a play.
Remember when Jameson Williams was running free for a 75-yard touchdown?
Yeah.
And Goff just airmailed it? God, that was awesome.
I surely do.
All right, let's hit the phones. By the way, Ryan, we will not mention him missing that 75-yard touchdown.
He's only not here because the Lions lost. So that's...
No, he's not feeling well.
Because the Lions lost. See what I'm saying? He's bummed.
Chris in Hyattsville. What's up, buddy?
Hey, Chris.
Chris, are you there?
Oh, no. Chris.
You will get nothing.
Wow, Chris.
And you will like it.
Wow.
Now, Chris knows how to do this. He calls all the time.
Yeah, he's calling on the phone.
Do we think the phones are working? Do we feel good about it?
Yeah, I feel good about it. He was on hold for a while. Maybe he put the phone down for a second.
It's funny, though, because like the show's going great. We're just crushing it. Things are good. And the whole time in my head, I'm going, come on, man, you got to get to the phones. You got to let people in on the fun. And it's those times when they just take a bat to my shit.
When there's a derailment.
Yeah. Kendall in Temple Hills. What's goody?
What's up, fellas?
Hey, buddy.
Man, this game was one of the most surreal, unbelievable. It was an out-of-body experience for me, man. And just listening to the interviews with Joe and with
Tress.
I think two things. Obviously, Jay is not from this planet. He's just simply not from this planet. and he has raised the level of his team. But the coach, I think the coach has got these guys to believe that they are completely better than what they are, and that they're together in that, and they're playing like, and it's like they're flying. Jimmy is flying high. He's bringing everybody with him. Like, we're going higher. And they're like, all right, let's go higher. They don't even know that they're ahead of schedule. They don't even know. So it's just right now, I mean, I know, you know, this, we didn't expect this year. Even in during the middle of the season, we thought, hey, maybe we got a chance. Nobody expected this. So now I'm 100% emotionally bought in, man. This is about this year. It's about beating Philly. It's about the Super Bowl.
You're
we
here.
Are in a Super Bowl run.
Take advantage.
Yeah, man.
We have walked many miles to the beach. Let's get in the damn water. Why wouldn't
we're here.
We
I got my suit on and I'm all screened up.
That wasn't the plan.
Let's go.
But now we're here and I got sunscreen in my hand, so why don't we? He was mentioning even after the fast start. When they were 7-2, we called our boss into the room. People got upset about this. And we talked to him about Super Bowl planning. And the parade and our coverage and who all would go to the Super Bowl and a bunch of fun stuff like that. Because the point at that time that we were making, and if you go back and listen, my point was the only team in the NFC that's definitively better than them is the Lions. And you're a Jared Goff clunker away from beating them in the playoffs. That was my point.
Yeah.
Now, they lost 3 in a row after that. And I thought...
And the Eagles were in the middle of winning 13-14.
The wheels were coming off the wagon. And even at the beginning of this winning streak... You beat the Titans, who were trying to get the number one pick, and you beat the Saints because they didn't have another 2 seconds, you know? And like, it was not convincing at any point. But it doesn't matter. You're here now.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go shake their hands. What's that from?
I have no idea.
It's from Mighty Ducks. The point of the dude's story is,
okay,
let's go do the thing, man.
Yeah. They're underdogs, okay? That's a door. So?
Never been an underdog before. No.
What's that look like? 2 wins?
Chris in Hyattsville. How are you?
Hey, Chris.
You hear me this time, gentlemen?
We got you, buddy.
We got you.
Okay. The thing is, I was talking and I could hear you, and I uttered the most brilliant take ever, but I have since forgotten.
Oh, no.
It,
so. And then we didn't
it's
hear.
It's gone. This is only a tribute.
This is only a tribute. So the way I feel every time Dan Quinn goes for yet another fourth down,
it's the best.
When they already have a lead, I feel like the car salesman who was test driving the car with Kramer, and I was just begging him to pull over and get some more gasoline, and Kramer's like, no, you know, and every time I think we're foolish, we're going to fall off this train, it's going to end, you know, and I need more faith. I lack faith. I need more faith in Dan Quinn because DQ he's working it right now. He's got the magic. He's got the magic in him.
All but 2 of their touchdowns in the playoffs.
Yeah.
After they've converted a fourth down, 27 of 33 on the year, 81%. It is insane that for me to get the thing I've always wanted, which was just a correctly aggressive, relentless fourth down goer for, was just hiring Dan Quinn. The fact that those two things are, like, for me to get the thing I've wanted forever was to go get the retread defensive guy, Dan Quinn, and just have him, like, pull off the Dan Quinn mask, and it's a new Dan Quinn.
Yeah, it's Mission Impossible Dan Quinn, you know?
What in the hell is happening? How is this a thing? It's like, I don't have a comp, and I just came up with this, and this one's terrible, but it's all I got. So here's my analogy. It's like, I hate all my daughter's boyfriends her whole life.
Okay.
Okay. And like she brings home these guys, and I'm like, not him, not him, not him, not him, not him. Well, when they brought home Dan Quinn, I was like, especially not him. Like, this is my least favorite one that we've done so far. We're not doing this. But then, like, my tire popped, and for some reason, he was behind me and helped me change it. And next thing, you know, all this stuff's happening, and I'm like,
he's fixing stuff around your house.
Was it him all along? You know, was he really the perfect one for, like, we're best buddies? We're going to be going golfing together? Me and DQ? Who is this man that goes for fourth down? He doesn't kick field goals. And after Zane Gonzalez missed the one at the end of the game, he'll never kick again. Dan Quinn has kicked for the final time. If he's in plus territory, he's here to chew bubble gum and tell Jaden
Daniels. And it's within a handful of yards, they're going.
To stay out there. Can you believe it?
No.
I mean, they have quite literally just turned into plus territory. We don't leave the field. Fourth and four or less.
And it influences the way you call stuff too, right? I mean, we're talking about this with Detroit, and it, now the flip is true. So those third and 13s, and it happened a couple times in the game, where normally if you play soft and give up eight, all the guys hold their fist up. Because, yay, we did it. It's fourth down. You didn't do anything.
Right.
You just made their fourth down easier.
Oh, it's demoralizing.
It's demoralizing. And that's the idea, right? Like the way defenses play usually on those third, mediums, third, and longs, you'll take that. We'll take it because now we've got a fourth and manageable because we got a guy.
Here's how this works. Someone write it down for Chris Russell because he just can't figure it out.
He can't do it.
And he's not alone. There's a lot of geese. Most of them are egg avatars who just can't figure this out.
That's why you don't go for it.
Okay? So follow me for a second. Teams that don't do what Dan Quinn does are playing football with how many downs? How many downs do they get to use?
Hold on. So if you three.
Okay.
The fourth, because the fourth has to be used for a punt to voluntarily relinquish possession, which is so precious. You're the same guy that talks about the turnover battle and how precious the football is, and you're willingly give it away.
Dan Quinn, though, the way he operates. Mm-hmm. So how many downs of offense and moving the ball closer to the goal line and picking up first downs does he like to have?
Danny, four.
All right, so then the opponent has three plays to gain yards.
Yep.
And you have four.
Yep.
Someone's got an advantage, and it ain't them. Get it?
Yeah, the four is bigger than three.
You see how this works, you mathematicians? Weird that Washington has figured this thing out that for 100 years no one has ever really got. Like, oh my God, everyone should do this all the time.
You got to play the field position game. You got to punt. Pin them deep.
Let's punt some more. Let's talk about field position some more. Oh, my God. How can you not understand this? I'm so angry about it. But I'm not angry about anything, actually.
That's the NFC title team.
I'm the happiest person you've ever met because the Commanders have made me happy. I don't even know what to do with my arms. I want to pet it and hug it.
Love it.
And just love it. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Daniels, four-man rush this time, zips it in, caught by your guy, Zach Ertz, touchdown.
All Zach Ertz does is make big catches. That was the Fox telecast. Commanders beat the Lions Saturday night. They are on to the NFC championship game. What'd you think of Brady?
Better than normal. I didn't hate it like I normally do. I normally just find him unlistenable. As he sort of makes just kind of mediocre and okay points that aren't really that insightful. He's no, Olsen or some of the other guys that are really good. I actually thought he was fine, though. I had a couple bits of insight that I went, oh, that's a good point, actually. So I thought he was fine.
I thought he was okay. I find myself really twofold. Number one, I just can't help but think about the fact that if he was like on the third team on Fox, nobody would think here or there.
If he was Tom Anderson.
Exactly.
Right.
But he's not. And he makes $37.5 million a year, and they automatically bumped him to the first team, which was a disservice. I know why they did it. It's about eyeballs, but he is okay. He just shouldn't be doing the game that he's doing. That's number one. But number two, I think I'm the only person who cares about this, and I care so much, and I think it's so ridiculous. He's going to keep calling games next year now as like an active member of ownership. He's a minority owner with the Las Vegas Raiders, but he's running their head coaching search. And the other night, he is calling games, calling the game and having conversations and lead up with Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn, who he's interviewing for the Raiders job. And then he's talking during the game about these guys constantly, who he's interviewing for that head coaching job. He's running the search. And they did acknowledge it out of a break at one point.
They did, yeah.
Like in a way that I think you almost have to, just from a journalistic standpoint. But I don't know. Like, there was a moment where, I'm not saying he was like rooting for the Lions. I don't do that. I think fans over care and think about that stuff. But like when they had 12 on the field, he brilliantly saw it right away, which tells you like this is just a different brain. He's like, they got 12. Who counts guys? He just saw one guy come on and his football brain said, no one came
the off. Way we're picking our fingers up going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He can do a, well, I know what it looks like.
He did a, when someone comes on, someone's got to come off, and no one came off.
Right.
But, like, that's not how my brain or your brain works. We just see a guy run onto the field.
Mm-hmm.
But regardless, he's like, you got 12. You got 12. Call a timeout. Call a timeout. Call a timeout.
I thought he was talking about Washington because the play clock was running low. And I'm like, why? No.
And then he's like, oh, man, come on. And it's like, what?
Why are you upset?
What's happening here?
Yeah.
Like, you're psyched to interview Ben tomorrow? Like, what are you doing exactly?
And so it's funny you mention that because the family was watching the game. My wife, I was like, why is he talking that way? And I was like, he just gets upset at imperfection.
Exactly.
And I was like, this dude, you better be prepared when you go into the meeting if Tom Brady's going to be there.
Which,
right?
I agree with, but you opened the door kinds of stuff. You already can't go to a lot of the meetings. You already can't sit in on the different things because you're a minority owner. Just the fact that everyone's okay with it. The league is fine with this. No one seems to care. Now he's going to be more involved, almost like a GM kind of role, it feels like, this offseason. He's going to keep calling games. Very strange to me. Let's go to Santo in D.C. on Grant and Danny. What's up, buddy? Santo, you will get nothing.
How you doing?
He gets something. What a recovery.
You will get something.
What a recovery.
And you will like it.
Enjoy it.
What's up, Santo?
Look, let me tell you, just watching everything this weekend has definitely been something completely different. There's a lot of times that, you know, the team was definitely, they were counted out. They were counted out. And I'm going to tell you, I was at the Old Ox Brewery. There were 300 people in there. There was 2 Detroit fans, 3 Philly fans, and the obnoxiousness that those 5 people had was unreal. But I was there watching the game. They had the Redskins band and the cheerleaders there. And I'm going to tell you, what I watched was uncertainty unfolding. And with this team and what it's done last week against Tampa Bay, taking away the clock, and this week, taking away opportunities, they're ready. They adapt. They step up to each team. And then even with Detroit losing against Baltimore, as I said before, we have some of those elements that Baltimore has, and it obviously caused Detroit issues. Detroit was forced to make plays, which they're not really they don't have to do that. And when you're forced to make plays, you make mistakes.
Well, I think it was more complicated even than that, probably. Frankly, they've had to make plays this season plenty of times. They've been in close games. I mean, a lot of times they blow teams out, to your point, but they certainly have had to.
Yeah, when you win 15 games, you're in close ones, blowouts, and everything in between. Yeah.
What happened in this game to me, we don't really need to hire a 10-person staff to do some research. It was going to be a shootout. It turned into one. Washington's offense executed and didn't turn the ball over, and Jared Goff specifically, but Detroit just made way too many mistakes. The sack fumble should never have happened. It should just be a sack. He was careless with the football. The pick six, as he admitted after the game, was a horrendous throw. The interception in the end zone before the half on first down, when you're in field goal range already, unacceptable. Let's go to Pete in Landover. What's up, Pete?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, buddy.
Last week, before this week with Detroit, I talked to B. Rich and Finley, and I asked him about faith. I said, Jaden's a big faith guy. He talks about his parents and upbringing. And even after this week in Detroit, Terry McLaurin, first thing he talked about was the young man's faith. Zach Ertz actually got up in his post-interview. He thanked God first. And, of course, Jaden has always said, I just block out the noise in that stadium. I'm just there to do a job, and I'm just going to do the best of my ability. And, I thought about that, like the Bible says, you have faith is a grain of mustard seed, which is a small seed, that nothing is impossible unto you. And he don't see this. He just sees it as another game. You don't care who it is. I mean, I think, I asked him, I said, you see this young man who helps the defender, the opposing team off the ground, picks him up like a teammate. He's always smiling and talking with everybody.
I've seen him do that multiple times, Pete. Thank you for the call, buddy. Where you're right, he will pick somebody up. Or what I love is when he gets crushed with a hit, when he gets annihilated, he immediately will talk to the guy in like a playful smile.
He taps the guy on the helmet.
Fun way, like good hit or whatever. The other day when he got blown up on the sideline, that was Tampa. When he got destroyed, like knocked 4 yards out of bounds.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Cosme came running over and was getting into a guy's face. Allegretti, actually. Like, they were about to fight, And Daniels kind of separated. I'm like, fine, dude. You're good. You're good. I'm like, tap the defender on the helmet. His demeanor is the best.
Yep.
It is awesome. Easiest guy ever to pull for at this point. It's also nice that he happens to be playing at the highest level.
There's that too.
Of any quarterback in the league this postseason. Let's talk to Jay Gruden about JD next on The Fan.